Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ child. Amen. The sermon text today is the prophecy that was given to Isaiah that's recorded in the 61st chapter of his prophecy beginning at the first verse. And I would invite the congregation to rise for the sermon text. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the many prophecies, the pictures that you gave to the Old Testament Israelites to prepare them to receive the Christ child. We are grateful that these pictures still show us today, 2,000 years after his birth, and point us back to that manger in Bethlehem. We ask that you would prepare our hearts by his first coming so that we may be ready for his return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, when I was a teenager, I lived for a while in northern Wisconsin, way out in the woods. And there we heated with wood. I remember chopping it all, every last piece. And we would bring the wood in and burn it in a stove in the basement and also in the fireplace up on the first floor. And one of my jobs also was every week I would be in there cleaning out the ashes. And they're really messy. And they turn everything black that they touch. Gets all over when you try to clean it up. This morning, I'd like you to imagine what it would be like to roll around in a big pile of ashes. That's what the Hebrews did when they were publicly repenting of a sin. They would wear sackcloth, burlap, and ashes. And you might ask, why would anyone want to roll around in a pile of ashes in burlap? What good could that possibly do? But as is true for so many of the Old Testament customs, they had meaning. Ashes were to remind the Israelites of the ugliness of sin and our utter helplessness to clean ourselves up and to bring repentance to our own minds. Isaiah uses that picture of ashes to remind us about repentance and especially about forgiveness in Christ. Christ comes to raise up the penitent. That'll be the theme for our sermon today. And he comes to raise up the penitent from the ugly ashes of sin to the beauty of holiness for the acceptable year of the Lord. When it comes right down to it, We are little more than piles of dust, just as Abraham confessed. God formed mankind from the dust of the ground. He breathed life into the clay, but still, we are made of that humble stuff. This is one of the reasons that ashes are used to signify repentance. In our sinful pride, we who are really just dust and ashes like to imagine that we are lords and masters of everything. We happily stand before God at times and let Him know how good we are, or at least good enough, how He ought to overlook our sins. But the fact is, we are weak, and we sin daily, and God has not made us for this. But God has constructed this world in such a way that only the sick require a doctor, only the lost need to be looked for, only the brokenhearted need healing, only the captives need to be set free, only the poor need enriching, the hungry food, the blind light, and so on. And so if we are filled with our own imagined righteousness, if we're filled with our own imagined goodness, then there's no room in the inn for Christ and His righteousness. God reminds us of the ugly ashes of sin also in the sacrificial system that God had made for those Old Testament Hebrews. The writer to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, speaking to his brothers, reminds them of this. He says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies it for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Christians, let us not think ourselves righteous of ourselves, but let us gladly acknowledge ourselves to be empty of our righteousness, so that God may fill us with Christ's righteousness. Let us quickly confess with King David, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Ashes cannot be our righteousness, only Christ. This is the meaning of the ashes in our sermon text. Though we do not show it the same way as the Hebrews, let us repent and find gladness in Christ's righteousness, and He will lift you up, and He will replace the ashes of sin with beauty, the beauty of holiness. Now, something that is holy is set apart for the one true God. That's what the word holy means. Our beauty comes from Christ setting us apart for God. St. Peter writes, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Think about what that means. You stand before God making spiritual sacrifices as His royal priests. And just as the priests of Israel were not dressed in rags, you have beautiful spiritual garments to wear. And so with Isaiah, we rejoice, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Only do not let your sinful nature rob you of your true beauty in Christ. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel, Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Instead of spending our time regaling in our pride, let us worship the Lord of heaven in the beauty of holiness. And as the psalmist says, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Christ has lifted you out of the ashes so that you might serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness and proclaim his righteousness to the nations so that all mankind will know the word of the Lord and despair of their own righteousness availing and learn his gracious will and so be prepared for the acceptable year of the Lord. And this, I tell you, is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time of God's grace for us, the time of salvation. Tomorrow's always too late. As your called pastor, I plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I plead with you. And God says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, fellow redeemed, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time and day for you to hear his word and to repent and to trust that Jesus is your righteousness and to look forward to heaven. These things are yours. So listen to Isaiah and the prophets and the apostles. Listen to the Lord Jesus himself. Your sins are forgiven. They have been atoned for with the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember the ugly ashes of sin so that you might repent. Remember the beauty that Christ has given you. And listen to these words. Read them and mark them and learn them and take them to heart, for your final deliverance from sin is close at hand. The last day will soon dawn upon us when Christ will come to raise us up and to give us eternal life, to raise the penitent from the ashes of sin, and to give them the beauty of eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.